Hello, 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 and welcome to the Mommy Files of a New Black Mom. It has been an interesting, to say the least, last few weeks, and I'm so excited to be back. I'm so excited. I kind of took a small but normal for me hiatus. I say normal because, you know, this is my love, but my time, it just slips away, seriously. But in lighter news, I wanted to make sure I got an episode in, and I had some time today to kind of come and speak to you beautiful faces. It has been a interesting but crazy time in our world that we're going through right now with the death of George Floyd, the death of Breonna Taylor, just riots and protest and corona. Next thing you know, it's going to be hail and mosquitoes or something. It's been 102 in the shade everywhere, and the bitch is tired. But I knew I needed to talk, and I knew moms need to hear it. And I'm so forever grateful for my audience that keeps coming back every time I post my unpredicted, unperfected podcast. And I appreciate you all. So, on this week's episode, The Mommy Files, I had some ups and downs in a lot of the things I've been going through. So, I had a pivotal moment. And for those who don't know, I am a lover of podcasts. I think I talked about it in previous episodes about me being like a fan of podcasts, which is what made me start a podcast. My cousin, who I love dearly, she put me on a podcast one random ass night. We were doing stuff, and I was like, "What are you listening to?" And she was like, "Girl, it's a podcast." I was like, "I don't even know what the fuck that is." And that was like circa 2014, 15, something crazy like that. And the first podcast I listened to was The Read. And the reason I bring them up is because one of the things they're very vocal on is therapy. And I wanted this week to be about that. Mommy seeking therapy and the stigma behind therapy in itself. The Read is probably one of my dearest and most loved podcasts. Most people who know me know I am a podcast lover. I try to convince everyone to listen to podcasts because the radio becomes kind of white noise to me, and I don't really watch a ton of TV undistracted. So podcasts have always been a thing for me because I can smoke, I can drink, I can be in my own personal bubble, whatever my vice is for the day, and I can do it while listening to a podcast, whether it be cooking, cleaning, breastfeeding. I mean, podcasts have always been my outlet. And The Read is such an amazing podcast. They're not sponsored. They probably don't even know me. I love, love Crystal and Fury. And they're just amazing. So if you get a chance, go find them on wherever you listen to my podcast. And they're amazing. And I also love, love, love Jade and XD. And they're actually friends with Crystal and Fury, which is kind of how I listen from one to the other. But I have a list of podcasts. Maybe I'll do an episode about podcasts I listen to as a mom and as a black woman and as a millennial, I think I fall into. Because I'm definitely not X or Z. I'm definitely after baby boomers, not the 80s babies, you know. But nonetheless, they're very vocal about therapy. And if you know me, you know I'm a person who's like, you know, I love talking. So therapy kind of comes therapeutically. But also, I watch Insecure. And if you are a black woman under 45, you watch Insecure. Just saying. It's a great show to binge watch. It's all on Hulu or Netflix, one or the other. But they just finished season 4, I want to believe. And I binge watched 1 through 3 before it came out. And I downloaded the free HBO Max so I can watch the new season, just so maybe me. But nonetheless, on Insecure this season, a big part of one of the main characters, Molly, was therapy. And I love watching TV shows that make you question who you are in the show, because we all find ourselves in different characters. I'm a fan of Golden Girls. I am definitely Dorothy. I find myself obsessed with, you know, Sex and the City. I'm absolutely Miranda. And Insecure, I find myself in a very torn between Molly and Issa character. So if you know the show and you watch it, you'll get it. But Molly goes to therapy. And the crazy part is, when Issa first initiated the conversation as a friend to go to therapy to Molly, Molly looked at it like she told her to swallow cum from every man she ever had sex with. It was like a what the fuck? No. And it's such a stigma in our community as Black people. And if you're not Black, you won't really relate to that point. But I find it here, like, a very hush-hush kind of situation where you know someone who goes to therapy. And I would love for us as Black people, as a unified people, to start seeking therapy. But full circle, I started going therapy. A lot of other life happenings have happened, so that kind of triggered me going to therapy. But I wanted therapy for myself, and that's the first step. As a mom, as a woman, as a person, I wanted therapy. I am an advocate for therapy because I grew up with it not being a stigma. My parents saw me being a very rebellious kid that I was, amazingly, and my mom was like, maybe we should see, you know, a psychiatrist, see what they think, if her behavior, if her attitude, if her frustration, if whatever is really something that needs to be talked about. And as an adult woman who is knocking aggressively at 30, therapy was something I didn't really think I needed. But once I did it, I was like, ooh, I like this. I like it. I like being able to talk to somebody non-judgmentally, talk to someone who can be like a personal diary. I used to write my diary all the time. I'm down to like 2 books now, but I used to really find peace in writing. But like most things with my life schedule, it doesn't always become a moment where I can write. And I find myself very interested in therapy, where you can be able to talk to someone. Because words are great, but talking sometimes clears out your mind in ways you don't understand. And I wanted to make sure I touched bases on therapy as a mom, as a woman, because this podcast is very personal to me. I have not vocally told anyone about my podcast, family, friends wise, because it was something I wanted to hold kind of personal. I look at my podcast as therapy for me. And because of that, it's a very intimate thing. So the people who listen to my podcast would be very surprised of who I am, or they might recognize the voice and not really be like, is that her? But for those who don't know me, which is probably most of my audience, I have put myself in a position where therapy was something I seeked myself. I sought out therapy for a lot of reasons. One, I found myself very, I don't say high anxiety ridden. And it's something that a lot of my friends have said in the same breath, like, yo, my anxiety is through the roof. My stress is through the roof. I find myself in very depressed states of mind, or I find myself in very low places. And as a woman who's been in relationships, I find that a lot of times we move on and make bigger steps without seeking some type of help or guidance. And in the Black community, most of our parents will tell us, go to church, pray to God, talk to Jesus, fall on your knees, God will make a way. I'm not saying that's not the, you know, an answer, but what I will say is that therapy is like communion to going to church. It's a part of a process. I say that because a lot of times we don't look at therapy as a necessity, more of a crutch. And in reality, therapy can be a big bear hug that you need at the end of the day. I found that I sought out therapy in a night I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't sleep and my anxiety was high and I hadn't been sleeping really well. And for me, sleep is very absolutely important. So me not sleeping was like a major factor. I have really bad insomnia. So for me, my brain is always rattling. And I say rattling in a way like I'm thinking of all the things I'm stressed about. I think of all the things I have to do this week. I think about all the things that I have coming up. And I feel a big blanket of like overwhelmed weight on the blanket. And as a mom, I feel like a lot of times we question the choices we make and the decisions we make and how we raise our kids or how we raise ourselves, that we don't really have an outlet like we think we do. And don't get me wrong, your friends can be your best outlet, but a lot of times they're carrying their own weight, so you can't really express as much as you think you could in a relationship where you might feel like a friend might judge, or a friend might, you know, run their mouth and talk about your business, or a friend might not be empathetic because they don't understand. And I have really great friend circle. I have a really great friend circle of people who I find very close and near and dear. But I also know sometimes you need to bring professionals in. It's kind of like when your husband might tell you, I can fix that leak. You don't need to call a plumber. And you just watch this small dripping leak turn into a full-blown pipe blowout. And you're like, yeah, we need to bring in a professional. We need to bring in someone who knows what they're doing. And it's okay. It's okay to say, I don't know what I'm doing and I need help. And therapy for me was finding someone who fit my characteristics. A Black woman. A woman young enough who might understand but old enough to be helpful. A therapist with a great reputation. A therapist with a great background in the things that I find dear to me. Whether it be, you know, the fact that they're local based or that they understand different sexual orientations or that they deal with anxiety and depression. Like, I literally found a website where I sought out, you know, just local therapists. And then the local therapists, they had all these boxes that they want you to check of what you find important. And what I found really great was that they had things like race. And if you wanted a man or a woman, or if you wanted someone who looked like you or was young like you, or, you know, different avenues, and you had an opportunity to reach out to each of them, see if they fit your price range, see if they fit how local you want to be, see if they fit the criteria of what made you feel comfortable before you, you know, go in and meet. And one of the interesting things is when I talked to my therapist, you know, she was very honest about finding a therapist that fits, and that all therapists are not one size fit all. You're not going to go into a therapy office and be like, perfect person, amazing, love them. You might go into a therapist office and go, this was good, but I don't really feel like we connect. And again, with the podcast that I listen to, The Read, they offered another service where it's called Talkspace. Talkspace is like an app you can download to be able to talk to a therapist via text, call, or email, and have a very impersonal but very easily accessible way to have a therapist on a very unique and kind of, I would say, reasonable price range. And therapy is not cheap. I don't want people to feel like, oh, you're setting me up to go look for something I can't afford. A lot of therapists have sliding scale. A lot of them do different kinds of discounts and different ways where payment is not and should not be a hindrance on why you're seeking help. And I say that because a lot of times people don't do stuff because it's so expensive. They're like, oh, well, I didn't eat healthy because healthy is more expensive. Or I didn't go to a professional because I knew I couldn't afford it. And finding a therapist who you can afford, who fits all your other little boxes of things that you find important and a necessity, is kind of what I wanted for myself. A lot of the people on the website I looked on were fitting of criteria, you know? And when I was able to talk to the therapist, we did like what we call like a initial interview. And then the initial interview, the interview basically was like, you know, tell me what you're looking for in therapy. Tell me what you think you need from therapy. What's your expectations from therapy? What do you want to get out of therapy? And it was really interesting because you don't look at therapy like that. You look at therapy like someone's going to put you on a couch and talk about your childhood and talk about the things you think are important. And you're supposed to just wake up and go, oh, fixed. Amazing. One of the great things is that she expressed to me is like therapy doesn't have a time stamp or limit. So don't feel inclined to put yourself in 6 months, I want to be in this place when it comes to therapy. She was like, therapy is fluid and it's a thing that just ever, you know, continue to evolve and ever changing. So don't feel like if in 6 months you're still in therapy that something's wrong with you. And that's one of the reasons why I was like, in our community, it's very much frowned upon because therapy is basically telling someone else your business, but it's also like it's not a beginning, middle, and end. It's like you could be in therapy for years. A lot of people of other races seek therapy aggressively and seek therapy because they know they need to be able to have an outlet that doesn't connect to them personally or work-related or, you know, with any other connections to the things that people find appealing. A lot of major CEOs and people of big names and big brands have a therapist because a lot of the shit they take on, they need to unpack. And kind of crazy and interesting, my therapist told me, hey, you know, I seek a therapist. I have a therapist. And my therapist is there because I take on everyone else's problem as well as my own. And I have unpacking that needs to happen. And I need to be in the best form of myself to do so. Crazy. No one ever says that. But again, me going to therapy as an adult for the first time was very scary. I was going to back out of it. I was going to just reschedule because I was just like, eh, I had so much other shit going on. But by the time the conversation started, I was sad when it ended. It's like going to the gym. And naturally, you're like, I don't want to go work out. I want to eat chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A and be in my own bubble. When in fact, I was like very much looking forward and am looking forward to our next session that I was well prepared to kind of come into it and be like, I don't know what to expect. And the great thing is that she was able to do it via video. So we were able to see each other and have a face-to-face conversation and have that kind of connection where even though COVID is happening, we won't be limited to not being able to have a real, hey, let's talk moment, or her noticing my triggers or her noticing my bad habits and not going, oh, well, why did you do that? And me being able to kind of blow her off, basically. And the reason I find therapy so interesting and I kind of want moms to do it is a lot of times we take on more weight because we're building up another human being. And when you're building up another human being, you may not have all the answers, but you also should seek more help. And help doesn't always come from people you think. One of the great things I joined and was asked to join was like the mommy groups on Facebook, like Black Breastfeeding Moms or Black Moms Millennials and all these type of groups where you find yourself in a safe space where you can ask a question and you're not judged. One of my favorite lines from teachers is there's no dumb questions, because dumb questions don't come from dumb answers. Your question is valid, your answers are valid, and your point is valid. So, that being said, go to therapy. Find a therapist. Find someone in an outlet that may be able to help you unpack the things that you're carrying on a daily basis so that you don't feel like you're a tightly wound knot and that you slowly begin to loosen and be able to have conversations with someone who you might feel is a safe haven for you. So like I said, I watched, you know, Insecure, and Molly being my spirit animal, she sought out therapy and went through that whole trial and tribulation of therapy, and the trial and tribulation of therapy being finding one that fits. And even the one that she found that fit, she didn't want to accept in the beginning. Therapy is there to push you, challenge you, force you to be uncomfortable. Talk about things that you never find yourself really being triggered by. And being that therapy is a personal, you know, conversation, you talk about things that you may not even realize are triggering for you, whether it be a childhood memory that you may remember so vividly that you can talk about the outfit you wore, the day you wore it, what the weather was, who was there, and you can't remember anything else, but you remember that day. And for me being me, I was very much shocked of the things that she was like, do you notice that that might be triggering for you? And I was like, no, that's just a memory I have. And a lot of the memories we have may not be a bad trigger, but they're a trigger of some sort. And the memories that we tend to forget or try to forget may be ones that need to be talked about out loud and not whispered in the dark. So for me, I knew I wanted therapy. I knew I wanted it because I knew I had no other solution, and therapy was the only answer I kept coming up with. And a lot of times we find ourselves in a point where we don't have solutions and we only want answers, and the answers we expect from ourselves don't always solve the problem. And what I mean by that is we think, if I just go and I just do this, it'll fix the problem. And a problem is not solved that way. It's kind of like when you learn math. They teach you there's multiple ways to get a solution. There's always a different route that you can learn to figure something out. And as a person who hated the fact that, you know, it's not about being right, it's about making a point, I always felt like my point was always being missed at times. And I wish I sought out therapy in those times where I had really bad breakups, when I had really big life changes, where I had big moments where I didn't feel like I should have been, you know, sad, but I was. Or points where I should have been happy and I wasn't. And knowing that therapy is so important, I wanted to be able to really open up to finding help. And finding help doesn't mean you're automatically going to be fixed after one session. What it means is finding a fit to continue your healing, because life is traumatic. You deal with death, you deal with pain, you deal with heartbreak. And if you don't seek out some kind of help, how will you ever move forward? So we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back. So we're back, and we're discussing therapy and how I find it important. And I find it super important in our communities to support people who want to go to therapy. I find myself turning into that friend who's like, well, you got problems, girl. You should probably find a therapist. And I don't do it intentionally, but I find that I do it because I feel like I don't have all the answers. And a lot of times when friends come to you and they talk to you, they expect you to be like an open book with like their solution. But what I find most interesting is knowing I'm not the friend who's going to shun them if they decide to go to therapy. I'm going to be like that supportive friend who's going to, you know, if you want to start your diet every Monday we start our diet. If you want to talk about walking and going to the gym, I'm going to support that too. I find that it's easier to support your friends in something positive than to be the Debbie Downer that decides you're going to be negative about every fucking thing they do. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times we find ourselves scared to talk about something like therapy. Like therapy is some secret society, you know, that nobody knows about and only the exclusive get access to it. And I don't think therapy should be that. I feel like therapy should be an open dialogue that you can have with your friends and say, hey, I think therapy helps. I think therapy works. I think therapy is something you should seek. Seeking therapy. Seek a therapist. Take your time. My therapist kind of described therapy as like buying a car. You go to a dealership, you're looking, you see something, you try it, you drive it, you don't like it, you bring it back, you do something else. You know, it's never a wrong answer. And what I find most interesting is that I didn't find myself feeling like I was in therapy. I didn't feel like I was laying on a couch with someone judging me over their glasses, writing notes vigorously. I found myself thinking I was talking to a friend. I was talking to someone who cared and someone who was listening. And a lot of times that's the biggest thing, is finding someone who listens. And someone who listens but may have the tools to help you. And I think that's the part we miss when we go to our friends, is that they're giving us what they think is their answer or the best thing we should do, but it's not necessarily the best tool for the what we have. And I'm not saying don't give your friends advice. I'm not saying don't talk to your friends. Shun them off to a therapist, because I took a weekend and went to go visit my best friend. I actually surprised her for her 30th, and all my friends are turning 30 this year, so it's been a very pivotal year for all of us, where we're all kind of in a very reflective, eye-opening, seeking the truth kind of notation, where we're like, what's best for me in my life for the rest of my life? It's crazy. And what's even more crazy is that a lot of people who I talk to who are over 30 are like, 30 is the new 20. 30 is the year you realize that 20s were nothing. You know what I mean? All those stress that you had in your 20s and all those worries you had at 20, you don't seem to have at 30, because you have the money, you have the time, you have the energy, you have everything you kind of want in those 10 years that pivots you to 40, where you're really living in a very kind of adult space. And therapy is a great access for us to kind of seek help and seek conversation and seek dialogue with making those major changes, because we, again, don't look at our changes in our life as something traumatic. So I found it kind of funny, because my therapist was like, people don't like the word trauma. Trauma doesn't necessarily mean you're physically hurting. Trauma means something that it's pivotal. She was like, so when, you know, therapists say, oh, there's trauma, they're like, oh no, that's not trauma. That's just something that happened. So you completely become defensive, or you completely become negative, when in fact, you know, she described the perfect example, like those memories that you remember every moment of, from like your childhood. You can't remember anything else, but you remember that those moments are trauma. And trauma, that means something that jarred you, something that shook you up, something that made you stop in your tracks, something that shocked you. And if you never face it, you slowly build around it. Like, I didn't think my parents' divorce was trauma. I didn't think seeing my parents fight was trauma. I didn't think, you know, me having to make a decision at 12 who I was going to live with was trauma. But those were things I can remember vividly. Those are things I can give a date, a time, a place, and remember it like it's yesterday. And it's crazy, because they're dug in my memory that I can't change. So I say all that to say, you know, don't be afraid to talk to someone. And talking to someone can be as simple as Talkspace, where you're texting and messaging someone if you don't feel comfortable having the words come out your mouth, or you don't have the privacy to go and meet, you know, a therapist or talk to a therapist via video chat. But it's also maybe going to a therapist, getting out your house, being out your comfort zone, being uncomfortable and having those dialogue where you're not necessarily thinking, you know, someone's going to hear me and judge me for it. The best thing about therapy is the non-judgmental phase of it. And the non-judgmental phase is what makes it so much more, like, opening. You don't feel like what you're going to say will get back to your friends or back to the person you may have, you know, pain with. You can talk to them unfiltered, unadulterated, you know, unexpectedly. And I love the fact that therapists have access to so many tools of challenging those thoughts, those things that may have put us in a position of feeling like, I want to question why I feel this way. I want to question my anxiety. I want to question my fears. And I want to figure out what's the root of them so that I can get over them. And what I love is when you see movies that have therapy in them, how it's always like some rich person or some CEO or, you know, something like that. And they're talking to a therapist about all the crazy shit they did. And because therapists are doctors, they have doctor, you know, patient confidentiality. You have this very safe space where you let go, unwind, and they like pour out all this gossip. And I would say, if it wasn't for the, again, trauma in my life, I may have never been, you know, jarred to talk to a therapist. Or I may have never been triggered to have a conversation and seek out therapy. You know, if I never had these things that kept me up all night or kept me worried, maybe therapy would not have been my answer. But because I did, and it is my answer, I feel like it's my kind of goodwill towards men or diligence to say something and make it a point to say, you know, therapy is great. Therapy is something you should seek. Therapy is okay. And even in our community of Black people, Black women, Black queer, straight, gender, non-conforming life, that you should talk to someone and be able to unravel those things that may keep you so tightly bound. Another thing that goes kind of, I wouldn't say hand in hand, but definitely is working with therapy, is finding things that make you relax, whether it's yoga, whether it's, you know, meditation. Those things that take you out of your element and bring peace are the things you should seek when it comes to therapy. And therapy can be self-care. One of my old employees used to always say, I can't work Mondays. Mondays are my self-care day. And I used to be like, girl, whatever. But I understood what she meant after a while, because it was those days after all the crazy, you know, weekends we worked where she got to go home and wash her hair and put a face mask on and watch crappy TV and eat her favorite food, where she was able to really unpack, unwind, and relax. And she took it very pivotal in her life to do so, because then when things were really bad, she relied on those self-care moments of maybe just putting on a face mask or soaking her feet or taking a very long hot shower that she didn't think of as self-care, but it was all playing a part. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the small things we do that we consider self-care, whether it's a girl's night or it's sleeping in your favorite pajamas or taking a hot shower and washing your hair, can find the most relaxing moments and the moments we kind of overlook as pivotal. So when it comes to seeking therapy, I suggest these things. Find one that fits. Take your time. Enjoy the journey of, you know, being specific on what you want and being picky on the type of therapist you like. And even if the therapist, you know, may not be a good fit the first time, don't give up. Don't stop because the first one didn't fit. It's like when you're trying to find shoes. You try on 3 or 4 pairs of shoes hoping that one of them will fit or one of them will give you that, ooh, I like that kind of moment. And you then find yourself strutting around the store. Therapy is a very hard thing for a lot of us to accept that we need. And I want you to understand that you are not alone when it comes to wanting therapy, seeking therapy, talking about therapy, and that therapy can be that kind of pivotal moment where you go from trauma to realization to peace to growing, you know, to success, because you decided to take those first few steps into making a change. And making a change is always going to be uncomfortable. That first step of finding a therapist, like I said, I absolutely, you know, was ready to call my therapist and be like, can we reschedule? Can we just do this another day? Because my natural instinct is procrastination. It's one of my worst habits, worst traits. If someone said, what's your biggest, you know, flaw? I procrastinate. I procrastinate so heavily because it's so easy to be like, oh, I'll do it another day, or I'll do it another time, or I'll find another way to do it, or can I reschedule? And for me to get out of my comfort zone and to do something that I knew I just was kind of over and didn't really want to do, it was very pivotal to do it and to follow through. So take the time, take the energy, take that, you know, extra 45 minutes and look, find, seek, you know, reach out and gain a therapist. Talk to a therapist, especially when you go through big changes, marriage, kids, you know, moving. All those things can be triggers for you to go and seek out therapy, to find a reason, to take time to, for yourself to say, an hour out of my week to go and talk to someone and unpack all the shit that I dealt with and all the things that make me totally wound are things that I need and things that I'm seeking, because at the end of the day, it's important. And it's important to me. It's important to my growth. It's important to what I do next. I thank you again for listening, coming back, and I appreciate it. And I'm out.